Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Odoo commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 12:57 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time, and today is August 13th. And really, anything anyone wanted to talk about today was Turkey, and the Turkish lira declined an additional half a lira in here today. It's almost closing right at the 7 level. There's no real sign yet of substantial buying, and that's hardly surprising considering the intransigent stance that Erdogan has adopted. Well, there is the potential that they may release the U.S. pastor that they've had incarcerated, and that might prompt the Trump administration to cancel the threat of trade tariffs, but essentially sanctions. That's perhaps out there on the horizon, but doesn't get around the fact that Turkey has got massive external liabilities, very low foreign currency reserves, so there's a big gap there, and interest rates are currently on the upward trajectory. Well, we know that Argentina has got interest rates in the order of 50%, and Turkey's are about 17.75%. If they don't decide to do anything in order to really stabilize the public finances, well, we know which direction those are likely to go in. So that is the risk that Turkey is facing. It's not as if it's Greece. Greece had bigger external liabilities, but most of them were to the Eurozone. And it's part of the Eurozone, so there was a lot more support for it. The ECB isn't exactly buying Turkish debt. And that is a problem for Turkey. It needs someone to step in, but interest rates are going to have to be higher, or it's going to have to introduce some pretty substantial fiscal consolidation or austerity if it's going to arrest the decline in the currency. So that has had a knock-on effect to other emerging markets. But there is certainly some evidence that investors are beginning to think about just how much additional contagion there is likely to be. And if we look at, for example, the South African rand, it traded all the way down to 15.5 earlier on in the session and closed closer to 14.5. So that's a substantial move and a big rally off the low of the day. Well, the big question with regard to Turkey is, apart from the risk that is outstanding to some of the European banks, BBVA in particular has got some substantial Turkish exposure, and that is being reflected in the stock price. But the stock has been trending lower for a year already, so this is not really new news. The European banking sector has been pretty moribund. But what is perhaps more surprising is the impact it's having on one of the better performers like BNP, which had broken out in 2017 and then failed to sustain the breakout. Those there is certainly a factor within the European banking sector that they have an appetite for going out to the periphery of Europe and buying because they can pick up a better margin. That has been one of the business cycles or the business decisions that a number of banks made when you have extraordinarily low interest rates within Europe and negative interest rates on the bond market and negative deposit rates in some places too. So they had gone out in search of yield. Well, they're getting bitten for doing that now by this trouble that we've got in Turkey. But then the big question is whether this is a broader catalyst and for people to reassess risk. Now, the Indian rupee was in dynamic negative territory in here today. It's breaking down to a new low. It's been ranging mostly below the 69, or the dollar's been ranging below most 69 since 2013, but well, it broke higher in a dynamic manner in here today. Well, it's not as if India has got very large external liabilities. It's in the order of about 19.5% of GDP. And well, obviously, if the rupee is going down, those are going to become more problematic, but it's not an insurmountable obstacle. And inflation is not making headlines either. So, therefore, the question is, whether the RBI is willing to raise interest rates to defend the currency. And the chances are that without inflation picking up, they're probably going to be less likely to do that. So that does represent a challenge for the stock market from the perspective of an international investor. And I think that is probably likely to weigh on Indian stocks. We saw that the Nifty was in mildly negative territory today, but of course that will have been buttressed by the decline of the currency, whereas the JP Morgan India Trust was down to test the region of the 200 moving average. This is about where, if support is going to be found, it would want to start getting its boots on. Well, when we look at the rupiah in Indonesia, it's also the dollar is also breaking out, and it is coming back up towards the nadir for the currency. When we saw that very clear central bank move to support the currency back in 2015. So, in the absence of a significant rate hike at their meeting on Wednesday, that could put additional pressure on the Jakarta Composite, and it is now pulling back from the region of the trend mean. And this turn to underperformance, I think, is notable because these ASEAN markets had been among the best performers from the lows in 2008. And this is, I think, an important signal here that credit conditions for these emerging markets are starting to contract, considering the fact that they did not have nearly the same economic impact from the credit crisis as the USA or much of Western Europe. They were able to bounce very emphatically. Then they benefited enormously from access to cheap credit. Well, that cheap credit is starting to be taken off the table with the Federal Reserve already raising interest rates and the ECB ending its quantitative easing program at the end of this month. Then that point is not being lost on people in Italy. The Italian government bond yield was up in a rather dynamic manner in here today, and it has first step above the base characteristics. So, and that is quite different from everything else that we see within the Eurozone. The fact that you have a populist government that is really starting to talk about taking a strong arm approach with the ECB is being punished by the bond markets. You can see, for example, that the Spanish government bond has been completely inert, Irish government bond yields are contracting. They're, I think, approximately 80 basis points, whereas we have a very clear pattern of a yield expansion on the Italian chart. So this is a complete outlier, and we know exactly why that is. What that also suggests, and the fact that you have populist politicians bleating about the need for continued ECB support, it does suggest that when Conte, the Italian Prime Minister, said last week that it might take 5 years to implement a reform agenda, we might also read that as that it will never get implemented, or that it will be a very go slow environment. Not least because of the pressures that will come to bear if they do try to break the ECB or the European Commission's fiscal compact rules. Then, when we cast our net a little bit wider, I think the weakness that we're seeing in the Australian dollar is a testament to the fact that they're very slow to raise interest rates. They have no interest in defending the currency. Same thing with the New Zealand dollar. And the New Zealand dollar was treading new lows again in here today. This has been a substantial breakdown from an almost 2-year range. And nothing has happened yet to arrest that decline. When we look at some of the more potentially pressured currencies, then the Colombian peso has weakened back towards this 3,000 level, and that represents the dollar's progression of lower rally highs. So it's a natural area where questions are going to be asked. Then Mexican inflation is picking up, and the Mexican peso has pulled back from the recent highs. That was a really very impressive advance that we've seen in the peso. but it has weakened over the last three sessions, which would suggest that the pattern of strengthening is probably over, and that the most likely scenario is that well, is not for additional strength in the peso, considering the downward pressure that we're seeing in emerging market currencies almost universally. Then the Brazilian real was off its lows in here today, but it is coming back. The dollar is back at the upper side of this range, and it has paused below the 4 real to the dollar level, but this doesn't look like anything other than a consolidation. Rather, for the dollar, the most likely path or the path of least resistance is probably above that 4 level. Well, this is substantial dollar strength, and we've seen that the euro has was off its low in here today, but certainly not rallying. The pound has been particularly weak over the course of the last few weeks, and it has unwound more than half of the advance put in from the latter portion of 2016. But there's no real sign yet that this decline is over. Meanwhile, the fact that the dollar has been really quite firm is weighing on the precious metals. It's also weighing on some of the other commodities, and gold was down in a reasonably dynamic manner in here today, and treading or closing below the $1,200 level. $1,200 has been an area of support previously, but it has not offered support on this occasion. A clear upward dynamic and a break in the progression of lower rally highs is going to be required to stem the decline and to really signal that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. But certainly it is for the bulls to prove. This is a very consistent downtrend so far here. And it was a pretty similar story for the other precious metals, with silver down 30 cents and breaking downwards from the most recent range. Platinum prices coming right down to test the $800 area, and this has been an area where it's bounced on two previous occasions, but it would really want to be getting about it if it's going to bounce on this particular occasion. Then oil prices have been reasonably steady and were off the low in here today. This has been a relatively steady process of consolidation over the last 3 months, and it is right in the region of the trend mean and the upper side of the underlying range. So this is about where one would anticipate that support could be found. The fact that the dollar was firm, well, has also, I think, stoked demand for safe haven assets, and the yen was also quite firm in early trading in here, and got all the way down to test the 110 area. Well, that did weigh on the Nikkei, and it was down about 400 points. So it gapped lower and then traded down on the day. Now, this is coming back to test the progression of higher reaction lows, and it is now below the trend mean. So it is within a couple of hundred points of where it needs to find support if the upward bias evident since the first quarter of this year is going to remain intact. And the second section index, which is so often a lead indicator, was also down in a dynamic manner in here today. It's coming back towards this 7,000 area. This is about where, if it is going to find support, then it should be doing so imminently. Then the Chinese renminbi, which was the currency that has been weakest and has been, I think, leading the more risk-off attitude to emerging market currencies generally, was also in at a new closing low in here today. The Chinese stock market is beginning to find at least or show some evidence of support starting to come through. And when we look at that A-share index, it has bounced now from the 2800 point level twice, but not in a particularly dynamic manner. And if we look at the futures traded market, which is the CSI 300, then that was in mildly negative territory in here today, but it was off its low. And it did move to a new reaction low, whereas the A-share index had bounced from an equal low. It definitely needs to break the progression of lower rally highs to signal that we have more than a short-term low here. And the banking sector in China which has been bouncing. It came right back down to test its most recent low in here today, and it was off it, but it's going to have to do better than that to really confirm that we are in a demand-dominated environment. Still, the progression of lower rally highs is intact. It has not yet been able to even close the overextension relative to the trend mean, and it still has a lot of work to do. But the Chinese do not want to see the currency in a rout. They are likely to introduce fresh measures to arrest its decline, but they're happy for it to decline. But they don't want to see the stock market crash either. We can anticipate that there will be some measures to help to support the market, but I don't think that the stock market is a particular priority for the Xi administration at the current time. When we then look at what's going on Wall Street, well, the S&P 500 was in mildly negative territory in here today, but certainly not in a particularly dynamic manner. And it is a little bit overbought in the short term, so we may see some pause in consolidation. That I think it would be unimaginable that we don't get at least some blowback coming through into the Wall Street indices, considering the uptick in volatility that we've seen, particularly in the emerging markets. But it is not at the epicenter of risk. And the degrees of separation from where the epicenters of risk are quite large. And the US economy is still benefiting from the fiscal stimulus. When we look at the US 10-year Treasury yield, it has come back from that 3% level once more. This has been a reasonably tight range over much of this year so far. It has almost completely unwound the overextension relative to the trend mean, but really a sustained move below that trend mean would be required to really signal that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. The simple fact of the matter is that the USA is raising interest rates and reducing the size of its balance sheet, that bonds are catching some demand coming through as a result of some angst about emerging markets, but there's a lot of additional supply coming through in the bond market, and I think that will probably act as an inhibiting factor in a substantial bond rally in the absence of a much larger pullback on Wall Street. So there's certainly a lot of action that's been going on, and we have seen some substantial breakdowns in a number of emerging market currencies. That is reflective of contagion. I think when we think about where the true risks are, well, the countries that have got the largest dollar-denominated external debts are obviously those that are under the most pressure with this continued dollar rally. But not all emerging markets have got the same exposure to that US dollar-denominated debt, and they are being sold off rather aggressively. That is going to create buying opportunities, most particularly in markets like India or Indonesia. But we don't yet have real evidence that the buying has started just yet. What I did find particularly interesting in here today was that the Turkish ETF have ex enjoyed some of its most aggressive selling over the last year, but it had the biggest inflow of funds on Friday in its history. And what that suggests is that bargain hunters are beginning to come through, but we don't yet have the background evidence that this is the low. But certainly, with accelerating declines, we know that those are climactic and that we are getting pretty close to a low of at least near-term significance, although the extent to which we see some moves on the policy front will inform us as to whether we're at medium-term lows. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.